2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Addiction can come in all sorts of forms, but in all cases, recovery is difficult. And in his new documentary, Hooked, neuroscientist Dr. Brian Penny, who is a recovered addict himself, looks into how anyone can become addicted and where the path to recovery begins. Brian, you are very welcome along to the show. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Delighted to be here, Laura.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you, and I'm delighted to talk about your new show. Let's start with this, though. What does addiction look like?
What does addiction look like? I'll give you the boring answer first, Laura. It's sort of the definition of addiction. And addiction is like continued use of a substance or a behaviour despite harm to yourself or others. So it's an inability to stop using a behaviour like your phone or a substance like alcohol. But the essence of addiction for me, and many researchers out there as well and experts, it's a drive to escape emotional, psychological and even physical pain. Right. And it's like avoidance. That's really what addiction is. But I think a challenge of that is, like, people often think of a reward. Something is rewarding. Let's say you eat chocolate, it's rewarding. You drink alcohol, it makes you feel good. But sometimes it's the avoidance of an award. Like, if you feel stressed and you have a drink, you're a little bit less stressed. Mm. That's a massive reward as well. So sometimes it's a removal of the pain through a substance or a behavior can become addictive, compulsive, and that ongoing behavior to escape that. That's the essence of addiction. And it's not the drug or the behavior. Escape is the key part. What are you trying to avoid?
Yeah. So you just mentioned the phone there, Brian. And like some people have called the phone the syringe of the modern day. Like, how have you looked at phone addiction?
Yeah, it's Dr. Anna Lemke who features in the documentary. Actually, she's called it the modern day hypodermic needle. It's scary. The phone use is really scary. And what we've done with the documentary, like we often focus on kids, but I think older adults have huge problems with phones as well. But what we've done in the documentary is we went into my old school, my secondary school, and we went into the young kids in there. And the average screen time for teenagers these days, like, it's anything between 4 and 10 hours. And what we found, yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what we found with the teenagers in my old school was very similar statistics. So we actually gave them a challenge. We said, right, let's try to half your screen time in a week and see how you got on. So then we went back and see how they got on with that. And it was great in one sense. Like, some of them were able to do that. But the challenge was that they got pulled back in by the phone. Oh. And that's really where the problem lies. Like, it pulls us back in because the temptation to use, and it literally, our brains are being hijacked by this. Our reward centers are being hijacked by phones and by other behaviors as well that are addictive. And it will pull us back in. And that's the real challenge.
It's incredibly difficult as well, especially with the phone, because we use it for absolutely everything in our life. So there's a necessity to a phone. Like, if you think about, you know, making contact with people, like if it's a phone call or a text message. But then there's the pleasure of, like, you know, the apps and stuff. It's kind of like a double-edged sword.
It is. I can't get into my gym without my phone. I found it quite interesting recently. Yeah. And there's a couple of scary things to it. And it's the reason why I'm thinking of getting a flip phone soon. Because it's just, when I look at the dangers, and I've really done a lot of research into this, and it's really scary. But I think one of the biggest scary factors for me is, like, if people's screen time is anything from 2 to, let's say, 10 hours for some young kids today, like, what are we not doing?
Yeah.
Like, there's a vacuum there, you know? What are we not doing that we're replacing it with the phone? And I think for young kids especially, like, they're not going out and playing, they're not going out and on adventures, they're not learning how to communicate and debate and argue with their friends. They're not playing anymore, they're on their phones.
Yeah.
But there's something really scary that I heard recently as well. Like, we used to talk about attention economics, where the phones are trying to rob our attention. But I heard this concept recently, it's called intimacy economics. And it ties in with the phone and AI, where the phones and these tech experts who are some of the best scientists in the world who are trying to hijack the reward system of our brain, they're trying to make the phones very emotionally friendly and like we can connect with them. And AI is a big factor. It's like you can talk to AI, it can validate how you feel now. So it's a really, there's a few scary things that are going on in the tech world at the moment that we really need to be aware of.
And Brian, I mean, we could obviously, you could do an entire series on being hooked on our phones. And it's not just kids as well. Yeah. You know, you've said it there, adults are totally hooked on it too. But you're also looking at gaming and gambling. How do they affect our brains?
Yeah, the gambling really ties in with the phones as well, because like that's the challenge as well. People can be, it looks like they're texting their friend and they could put their whole wages on a bet, you know, that way.
Yeah.
And it's similar with gaming as well. Like the essence of any addictive and behaviors and substances do the same thing. But when we get that reward, this releases dopamine within our brains, within the reward pathway of the brains. And people often think about dopamine as this pleasure neurotransmitter, which isn't entirely accurate. Dopamine, basically, it does give you a sense of pleasure. It makes you feel good. But what it's doing is it's driving us and motivating us to do this again in the future. And this was an evolutionary pathway within the brain. Like, basically, when we were ancient humans, if we found fruits, that's rewarding. Let's remember this and come back and do it again.
Yeah.
But there's this evolutionary mismatch where our brains and our bodies have not evolved for the world we live in today, with all of these temptations, all of these lures. And it's hijacking that part of our brain where we're constantly looking for more, we're looking for better hits, phones, gambling, gaming, whatever it is. There's so many temptations out there, and it's literally reshaping and rewiring our brains.
Gaming and gambling and phones, like, they differ massively from actual substance addiction though, but how do they?
Yeah, I suppose the essence of it is, like, if you were to take cocaine, literally, that's something biologically going into your body, and it acts on those neurotransmitters. It actually releases more dopamine within the brain. Where I suppose the behavioral addictions are different in the sense that they're not releasing a substance within your brain. Mm. But at the end of the day, they act in the same way, because the reward itself of removing boredom or disconnection, like, I think that's one of the big challenges people have today. We're so disconnected through the phones. It's a very lonely society. Like, Ireland is one of the loneliest places in Europe. It was recent statistics as well. So for some people, and whether it's self-doubt, whether it's not feeling good about yourself, whether it's abandonment as a child, for some people it's like a hole in your soul. So the removal of that pain through phones or gambling or that reward that you get, it's like you're filling yourself up, but it's a false sense of filling yourself up, and that dopamine hit is just not going to do the job.
Brian, you talk to all sorts of people on the show. Who are some of the people that you met?
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to mention a couple of people in recovery for. So we've done a bit of work up in Kilmine Treatment Centre. It's from where I come from, at Blanchardstown, and the Women's Treatment Centre and the Men's Treatment Centre. And there was a wonderful woman, Suzanne Tackerberry. The Kilmine Centre for Women is called Ashley House. It's the only place where you can bring their kids into treatment as well. And her story of recovery is just phenomenal. Just such a joy and a light inside of her now compared to where she was. And there was another guy, Dean Duggan, up in Kilmine Centre as well. And he's in recovery. He's just beaming with joy, the opposite of who he was in addiction. And he only had a baby. And we go through that in the documentary as well. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
But I have two big academic heroes in my life. And two of them, one of them was Dr. Anna Lemke. She is the author of the brilliant book, Dopamine Nation. And I would say most people will have heard as well of Dr. Gabor Mate, like literally my hero. I just wanted to meet Gabor once in my life.
Yeah.
But I actually got to meet both of these people. I spent a lot of time over in London with Gabor Mate particularly. And he'd actually read my book and dropped absolute mind-blowing insights into my own life. So it was just like, talk about a pinch myself moment. It was just an incredible experience. It really was.
That must have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's a bit surreal of us sitting there in the room chatting with Gabor Mate. Yeah, it was crazy.
Let's finish at this, Brian, because we could talk to you all day about this. But what does recovery look like?
God, do you know what words came into my mind there as you said that, Laura? It was just joy. That's what recovery really looks like. But the one thing about, I think what's really important to recognise as well, is that there's many entry points into addiction. It can be through pain, but for some people they might just enjoy a drink, and then they enjoy a drink too much, and it becomes a challenge in their lives, and that can become the trauma as well that drives the addiction. So So there's multiple entry points into addiction, but there's also multiple ways to find a way out of addiction as well. And for some people, recovery just is reduced harm. Maybe they've had so much trauma in their life that they need to be medicated in some way. And that's okay. That's fine. Like, some people just, it's reduced use and reduced harm. For some people, it's complete abstinence. But something that I'd like to say to people as well, it's probably a little bit controversial, is that I don't believe I'm in recovery. I believe that I'm recovered. And the reason for that is because anxiety was the thing that drove my addiction. I was constantly running away from anxiety and panic attacks. But now I've gotten to the bottom of anxiety. Like, I have a great relationship with anxiety today. So recovery personally for me is removing the pain that caused the addictive behavior. And it's a beautiful life, like, it really is. But I think it's important for people to recognize it comes in different forms. And I suppose inner peace, freedom, joy, they're the words and the feelings that come to mind when I think of recovery.
Brian, when you say you're recovered, is that so that, like as people, you know, who are incredibly anxious, is that so that you've got a solid foundation, that you're not left in a limbo land? It's like, no, I am recovered. I have made a good relationship with this. It's not leaving it up to chance.
Yeah, it's not leaving it up to chance. So, like, I put a lot of work into that. Like, I'd look after my body physically with exercise.
Yeah.
But I'd have a toolbox as well, like, whether it's breathwork techniques, whether it's, like, mind techniques as well, in terms of belief systems, limiting beliefs and stuff like that. I don't let anxiety in, but I've really changed my relationship with it in terms of how I view anxiety. Like, the narrative and the story of my life in addiction was, and pre-addiction as a kid, I can't cope with anxiety. Mm. And the consequences of that belief was using drugs to escape.
Yeah.
The belief I have today is that anxiety is my friend. It's my teacher. Adversity doesn't stop me. It fuels my ability to learn and grow. So when challenges come into my life, I find myself leaning in, like, what can I do about this? Mm. What can I learn from this? And it's that sort of reframing of adversity that just doesn't give any negativity a chance.
Yeah, so flipping the mindset, Brian. Love it. And, like, yeah, just well done. I mean, you've done such incredible work and you're continuing to do that. Thank you so much for taking our call this morning.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
No, it's absolutely no bother at all. And part one of Hooked with Dr. Brian Penny deals with phone, gaming and gambling addiction. And it is on RT1 tonight at 9:35. Brian, we'll chat to you later. Thanks a million.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.